Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Appreciate the attendance of everyone. If anybody has a question about anything that we talk about this morning, be glad to talk with you about that. To begin our lesson, I want to begin in Genesis, the first chapter. In Genesis, the first chapter, talk just for a second about the first day. In Genesis 1 and in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." You know, just by speaking things into existence, God created. And we talk about the first day, and there's five more days that God created everything that we see with our eye, including the moon, the stars, the animals, the planets, everything that is seen with the eyes created by God. I want you to notice in Psalms 33, in Psalms the 33rd chapter, and starting in about verse 6, and it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Did you get that? Just by God speaking, by the breath of his mouth, it was made. Verse 7, "He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." You know, there's many other scriptures that we could go to about God and his power and his creation and what he did. But I don't want to talk about the first day today or the other 5 days that he created things. And we know that he rested on the seventh day, the Sabbath. But I want to talk about the last day. Because the last day is more said in scripture about that last day than anything about the first day. Or even about the other 5 days, as far as I know. You know, there's a lot talked about in the last days. I want you to notice in about Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 42. Matthew 24, and let's start at about verse 42. And he says here, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." I want to back up a little bit. Set that idea in your mind to watch and back up to about verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man coming." When we think about when the Lord comes back, the last day, we refer to it many times as the second coming of Christ. Because at the second coming of Christ, that is the last day. That's when all things will happen. All things will come to an end. It's going to happen. And it talks over and over throughout the scriptures talking about that in the last day. And there's going to be a decision made at that time. The Lord will judge the world. Notice Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. The idea of a separation. There's a decision that will be made on that last day. The Lord is going to make that decision. He is going to separate the good from the bad. And there's many different parables on that. There's many different descriptions of that. And we see that. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 47. Matthew 13 and in verse 47. And he says here again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That day is going to come. Just when God decides, and just like He spoke into existence the first day and the second day and saw that it was good, there's going to come a time that there's going to be a judgment day. And the scripture is full of warnings. Jesus talked about in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The same word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. It's not going to be my standard, your standard. It's going to be God's standard. His words and what we read in the scriptures, we will each hear. And we'll be separated. There is that decision that's going to be made. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It is going to be the Lord's way. It is going to be based upon His word, and that is what's going to be our judge in the last day. Notice in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. You know, it don't matter where you're dead or alive. You're going to be judged, because we're going to see in the scriptures that whenever the Lord comes, the dead is going to be raised. We all will meet that judgment seat of the Lord. Notice in the book of Jude in verse 14. In Jude 14 it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. You know, there's a lot of people that don't accept the gospel. They don't believe in Jesus. They're not going to follow Him. There's a lot of people that say they believe in Jesus, and yet they still don't follow. That last day, what will happen? There's going to be difference made. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and starting in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We know that when the Lord comes, there is going to be a difference made between the good and the bad. He's going to make that judgment. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about the ones that are dead there. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to followers of Jesus that have obeyed the gospel and talks about that hope that they have in the Lord. There is specific order in that time, that last day. Decision and difference. And there's also decrees. All will be rewarded. John 5 and verse 28. John 5 and verse 28. He says here, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. There's that last day. There's that hour. There is an hour coming into which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, there's an hour coming. And that's that last day. And we don't know when that's going to be. Nobody knows. Notice in John 6 and verse 39. John 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he have given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Yes, there's an hour coming that we will all give answer of how we have lived in the body. We will be rewarded, or either we will be punished. There is no other option to this. It's eternal. It's final. It is going to be heaven, or it's going to be hell. Let's back up just a little. We don't know when the last day will be. Might be in the next minute. It could be in the last few seconds. All God has to do is speak. He spoke this world into existence by the breath of his mouth. And whenever he decides that the end comes, now whether that's the next few seconds or the next hour, or it don't matter where it's months, years, or 1,000 years. It makes no difference. Because as long as we live on this earth, we have opportunity to get our lives right with the Lord. He is patient. The scripture says he is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we don't know when our life will end. But if we die outside of the Lord, we know that there is going to be punishment. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We understand when we go to Luke 16th chapter, we got the example there of Lazarus and the rich man. They both died. And it said in Hades, we see what happened there. Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man was tormented. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. I don't believe this is a parable of heaven and hell, but heaven or hell, because this earth, when heaven and hell comes, there's not going to be any earth left. But he said, I got five brethren. Five brothers at my father's house. Let one go back to them. They were under the law of Moses. This is an actual event. Once one go back from the dead, said they'll repent. Father Abraham said if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. But what I want you to see is that when we die, we face judgment. God don't have to ask us questions. He don't have to say, was you a good boy? Was you a good woman or a man? God knows, and he will judge us accordingly the way that we have lived. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive in the body the things that we've done, whether it is good or bad. God is coming to execute judgment upon evildoers. Over and over in the scriptures we find that. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And notice something here he says. 2 Thessalonians 1, let's start at verse 6. It says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled to rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice there's two things in verse 8. There are two classes of people that's going to be lost. Number one, the ones that know not God. We know that the gospel is God's power unto salvation. People that don't know the gospel, they can't be saved because they don't have faith. That's why it's important for us to talk with people about the gospel, to let them know there's a Savior come. God sent His Son into the world. If they don't know God, they're going to be lost because they're going to die in their sins. The other class is the ones that they might know. I know a bunch of people that know what they need to do, but they've turned away from the Lord and they refuse to repent of their sin, and they will not obey the gospel. And it says that they're going to be lost. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Brother Gary talked to class this morning about how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to take upon the divine nature. And as we live that type of life, we're walking with God. And that's important, but there's people that refuse to do that. Soon as we die, the spirit leaves the body. We know that Jesus, whenever he died in Luke 23, verse 46, it says that he gave up the ghost in the King James. His spirit left the body. We know that the body without the spirit is dead. That's what happens at death. It is a separation. That's what happened with Lazarus and the rich man. They died, but they didn't cease to exist. We talked about this morning in class. We're made in God's image. We are destined to live for eternity somewhere. We're going to die physically, But that's not the end. You know, some people, they try to wait to the last minute. I'll tell you what, it's not going to work. Death will creep up on us. We don't know. I got friends that walked into a store to get a Pepsi Cola and never left, died in the store right there in Dusty Bend. One of my friends. I know, I've known it all through the years that so-and-so, they gone. Don't think that you're going to put off and that God is going to wait around with you and bargain with you over your sin. He has done what he needs to do. You don't know when that's going to be. Paul the Apostle said that he lived in all good conscience. Notice in Acts 23 and verse 1. Acts 23 and verse 1. We know the kind of man that Paul was when he was called Saul. In Acts 23:1, it said, Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Paul actually thought he was doing the right thing when he was persecuting Christians. But he was wrong. He was doing the wrong thing. Look at Acts 26 and verse 9. Acts 26 and verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and they were put to death. I gave my voice against them, and I punished them off in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even until strange cities. Paul did all that in good conscience, thinking that he was doing the right thing. You said it goes back to our verse, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 1 and in verse 13. Paul says there, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. As bad as Saul was persecuted, he could be forgiven and he could obtain mercy. And we can obtain mercy if we're willing to meet God at his condition. He loved us enough to send his son into the world to die for us. I think back about my life. I was 29 years old when I decided to serve the Lord and to come back and to change the way I was living and to come back to the Lord. And I was 29 and I look back and I regret that I didn't do it earlier and I regret that I ever left the Lord to begin with. I knew better. But we're tempted and we're drawn away after our own lust. And we're separated from God. And I think that if I could have come back earlier, I might could have influenced other people and more. But, you know, we can't look back on that. We got to move on. He sent his son into the world to save us from our sins. God loved us. And we got to take advantage of it because there is a last day coming. And we don't know when. God's righteousness will be vindicated. And that's his decree. That's going, and that's going to happen on the last day. We can wait around. And we can let it slip up on us. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know where you've ever been in much pain or not, but if you got a lot of pain, you don't want that to last for eternity, and especially the kind that God has in store for the ones that rebel against him. There's decision, there's difference, there's decrees, and it's all on that last day. And we don't know when that's going to be. But we do know something else, that there's going to be destruction on that day. destruction. The earth is going to be burned up. We think about back in Genesis 9 and about verse 13 through 18, talked about there. We won't go there to read that, but God destroyed the earth by a flood. And at that time, he put the rainbow in the cloud as a covenant. Do you think about that when you see the rainbow? Do you really think about the purpose? I talked with a man and a woman a while back, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while. And they were 70 years old and didn't know what a rainbow was in the sky. God put it there as a covenant that he would never destroy the earth again by water. But he has something far greater in mind than water. Notice in Malachi, as we end up the Old Testament, the last book in the Old Testament, and we remember between the book of Malachi and Matthew, Old Testament, New Testament, there was 400 years that God did not communicate his word. But one of the last things he said in the last book in the Old Testament, in Malachi 4 and verse 1, he says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch." You see, God's got something in store for the ones that rebel against him. When we refuse to serve him by our arrogance and by our wickedness, it has to be punished, because God in his justice, God is a God of love and mercy and grace for the ones that desire that, for the ones that will come to him, and the ones that will seek after him. But if we think we're going to be arrogant, proud, refuse to obey, refuse to submit to him, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. Look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter in verse 25. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and starting in verse 25. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, if we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Something to think about. The reality of what God is going to do. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 2. 1 Peter 3, or 2 Peter rather, 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved against fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's simply talking about God is not limited by time. We live in time. God created time for us. God is eternal. There's no beginning. There's no ending. Verse 9, he says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The last day. The last day is coming. When? We don't know when. We have no idea. I tell you what, people get caught up in climate change, global warming. These people think that the earth has been here for millions and millions and billions of years, and because of climate things, oh, it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. Yeah, it's going to get hot one day, but that's going to be the last day. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to protect our environment and throw trash on the roads and all of that kind of stuff. I despise seeing people ride down the road and throw trash out and trash our environment. But I'll tell you one thing, God is in control of this world. If he spoke it into existence, it is up to him. It will last, and global warming ain't going to do away with it. I don't think the people up north this morning is worried too much about global warming. Some of them got a foot of snow. But the idea that people get so caught up in that, this earth's going to be destroyed, all right. It's going to be burned up, but it's going to be at the last day. That is when it's going to happen. It's not like we got to protect it so it can be here another billion years. Some of the craziest things you ever heard in your life that goes on with these scientists and talking about they know something happened 70 million years ago and then about 65. They don't know what a million years is. But the reality, it goes on. Our concern should be about deliverance from what's going to happen. Deliverance. The kingdom is going to be delivered up unto the Father. Notice in Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field, and whence cometh it the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. Now that harvest is talking about the last day. And in the time of harvest, I will gather the reapers, gather ye together the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn. The idea that he sets this forth. Drop down to verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore are tares gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Did you notice something about this parable? That's those that are in the kingdom. Not everybody in the Lord's church is going to be saved. We have to remember to walk in the light, to follow Jesus, to do His will. The hypocrites will be weeded out. One last passage we need to read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 19. And this will sum up this lesson. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man that it is on order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are at Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Where are you at today? In what class will you be in the last day? The chaff or the wheat? Sheep or the goats? The righteous or the unrighteous? Your decision. We each one have to make that decision for ourselves. We have to decide where we will spend eternity. God loved us enough to send His Son to save us. It's up to us what we do with our life. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Need to repent of your sins. You need to be willing to confess His name before men that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. If you do that, you are raised. Brother Gary used that passage this morning in Romans 6, 3 and 4. That we are baptized, we are buried with Him, we are raised to walk in newness of life. We are born again of the water and of the Spirit, like Nicodemus was told in John 3, 5. A Christian. A new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's your choice. And if you're here and you have done those things, and you're not living faithful like you should, you can change that. You can repent of that. You can ask God to forgive you. If you have a public sin and brethren know about that, you need to let the brethren know of your intent to do better. We all want to go to heaven, but it requires obedience unto the Lord. Luke 6:46, Jesus said to some, "And why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Choice is open. This may be the last day. We don't know. But the last day will come. and you decide where you'll be on the last day. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.